So this morning, as I said, we're looking at our next aspiration as a church. Stephen brought one last week, and we're on today to being an inclusive church. Inclusive in the sense of being welcoming and welcoming everybody into the church. And if RBC has been known for one thing over the years, it's often been that people have said, oh, you're a really welcoming church. It's lovely. It's really nice to be here. But you know what? It gets harder, I think, as we get bigger, as we get more diverse. It's hard for it to be so easy to get to know one another. Perhaps we're afraid of boundaries, but afraid of what we can do right or wrong. We're afraid of speaking to someone and not understanding. Or we're afraid that we've spoken to that person. This is me. I've spoken to that person before and had a long chat, and now I don't remember much of it. And so things stop us and they prevent us sometimes from speaking to each other, even within these four walls itself. It's so easy, isn't it, to stick to the people that we know and to talk with them. And so this morning, I have a challenge for each and every one of us, a challenge for you each to speak to someone this morning who you haven't spoken to before. Okay? Or, and for those introverts of you, you're sitting there thinking, oh, Jan, this is like my worst nightmare. I hate it when preachers do this. This is me. I want you to pluck up the courage and speak to somebody else. Maybe they're sitting next to you. Maybe they're sitting near you. Maybe you'll meet them in the coffee line. Maybe you meet them as you head out the door. But try and speak to someone new today, someone you've not spoken to before. And if you're scared of doing it, just remember, that person has also been given the same challenge, okay? So all you have to do is smile back and be friendly. Thinking about diversity and differences, there was that great film that came out last year or the year before, The Greatest Showman. I don't know how many of you watched it, but it was about a guy who brought together people who were considered as outcasts, as people who should be hidden away, shouldn't be seen, and he brings them together and makes this amazing show out of it. And the people, first of all, they don't particularly want to come until they realise, actually, there's something here. There's something good happening. And the people come together, and there's that wonderful song in the middle of the film, "This Is Me." Whereabouts the people are like, I don't care how other people see me. I don't care if they're going to judge me for the way I look, for my appearance, for the colour of my skin. I don't care. This is me. And it got me thinking this morning. There's so much division in our world still, isn't there? That people don't accept the individual. They don't accept the people they see. Even this week in the Labour Party, there was talks about anti-Semitism, wasn't there? How can that be the case in one of our leading governmental parties? And then two of our friends here from RBC in the last couple of weeks have just shared with me how they've faced really open and horrific racism outside of these walls, not in here, I'm glad to say, but outside. You know, they've been called terrible names. They've had fun made out of them because of the colour of their skin. How is this happening in our world still today? And then someone else I know who's facing disability discrimination, they've not been able to participate in something because of their disability. How is it happening still today? And I wondered whether, as a church, are we different to that? Are we different to the world in this way? It's really easy to sit here and say, yes, we are a wonderfully diverse Baptist church here. We clearly are welcome. We're doing something right, aren't we? But how welcoming are we? How are we making it accessible for everybody to be welcomed and included in our services and in our fellowship? How can we be more like Jesus? How can we follow his example of how he reached out and he touched the leper and he drew those that were on the outside in? What can we do? And as I was thinking about this whole idea, this aspiration of being a welcoming church like Jesus, it brought to mind three passages for me. Maddie brought the first one to us about how we're made in God's image. And then the second passage from Psalm 139, that lovely psalm, whereabouts it's how God has made us, he's created us, and we have a purpose. And then there's a third passage as well, which is going to be homework for you all today, because we haven't read it. I want you to go home and to read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. And it talks about us being part of a body, how each one of us has a significant part to play. Not a single person part of our church doesn't have a role, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of abilities. Every single one of us has an important role to play. And so firstly, image. Well, there's a word, isn't there? The young people brought us a fabulous service a few weeks ago and talked about image. And what do you think of when we talk about your image? Do you think about yourself? How do you describe your own image, your own self-image? They asked that question and people were saying, well, I do this as a job, or I'm this family, or I do this and I am this. And we talk about our jobs. We talk about our accomplishments. We talk about our family life. Do you ever wonder, though, or think about how you look? Do we ever wonder about what other people see when they see us? The young people shared this brilliant audio visual that I hope is going to work. It's called Identity. Who am I?
Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child. He says I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me His masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
Who are we? Well, if we're a child of Christ, if we've asked Jesus to be our Lord and our Saviour, then those words ring true. We are God's child. You are holy. You are blameless. You are God's masterpiece. You're a new creation. You're chosen. You're made complete. You're loved. You're made in the image of God Himself. How incredible is that this morning? And maybe you need to hear those words this morning. Maybe you wonder about who you are or you feel worthless this morning. Remember who you are in Christ. We might not be very good at the things that we do. We might make terrible mistakes. But in Christ, we are all these things. The Bible uses two words to describe God's image in us. It uses the word image and likeness. Image is about being a representation of God. And likeness means to be like. Therefore, every person is formed by God in a unique way. Every single one of us in this building and outside this building has the image of God placed in us. And that makes each one of us special, doesn't it? If we want to be a welcoming church this morning, let's remember that everybody has the image of God in them. Everybody is special. What ways do we demonstrate that image of God? Well, no other creature was made in God's image in creation, only humankind. What makes us different from them? How do we see that image? It's through our intellect, it's through our morals, it's through our conscience, our responsibility, it's our decision making, our interactions, how we function with God and how we function with other people. It's structural, it's functional in our lives, the way that we express it. But the most exciting thing about being made in the likeness of God means that we're able to enjoy God Himself. We're able to know Him. We're able to worship Him. But by knowing God comes a responsibility too. The responsibility of a freedom to choose. Choice is a massive gift, isn't it? But also a responsibility. Our choices can easily let us down. They allow us to make wrong choices. They can blur the image of God in us, so it's harder to see the image of God rather than the bad mistakes that we're making. And there's that word that used to be used a lot, the word sin. And people don't like it anymore. But actually, it's a useful word, because in the middle of sin is the letter I. And the letter I is about what sin is, isn't it? It's about I doing what I want to do and not what God wants me to do. You know, sometimes it's so easy to see the wrong in other people, isn't it? To judge other people rather than seeing the image of God in another person. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says this: Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You know, Jesus is our example, isn't he? When we read the Bible, when we study what Jesus did and how he lived, this is how we too should be living. This is our example, because Jesus was that perfect image of God. So by looking at Jesus, how he lived, what he did, we can know how to live our lives too. If we want to reflect God's image, then we need to learn what Jesus did and how he lived in order that we can reflect that. And then there's another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18 that says this: And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who's the Spirit. It's that sense of the renewal of the image. Do you know the image of God in you? Do you see it? Well, God's actually renewing it in you through his Holy Spirit living in our lives. So the image of God is an important factor as we think about welcoming everybody. As we look at each and every person, God's image is placed in them. They are special to God, and they should therefore be special to us. As we have placed our trust in Jesus Christ, so that image is restored more and more, we get transformed into his likeness. This morning, I wonder, do you know Jesus? Is he your Lord and Saviour? Have you asked him to be part of your life? If not, I encourage you not to leave here today without knowing him, without inviting him in. People in the prayer spaces would love to pray with you, lead you to Christ. It's the best thing, my life, the best part of my life is knowing Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. And for Christians, it's good to be reminded, isn't it, of who we are in Christ. It's not us, but it's God in us, changing us, making us his children. God lives in us and he wants us to live for him. God delights in you, and we can become more and more like him as we continue daily to learn to walk with him and to put our trust in him. But knowing that each and every person has God's image placed in them should also challenge us, shouldn't it? Because if each and every person has got the image of God in them, then that should rule out all racism. It should rule out all division. It should rule out all selfishness and all one-upmanship. Because every single person is precious and worthwhile in God's eyes, and therefore should be in our eyes too. Therefore, as we realise our own worth and the worth of others, each of us made in God's image, that should result in us being utterly an inclusive church, where each and every person who walks through these doors or comes through in a chair, regardless of their race, regardless of their ability, regardless of their wealth, regardless of their status, every single person should be welcome, shouldn't they? Each person is precious. We're God's creation, and God has blessed us by placing his image in us. We need to learn to love and respect and care for one another as Jesus did. And so our first challenge is the challenge to be like Jesus, to see the worth in every person that we pass by, in our office, in the school, wherever we are, in our fellowship. So the challenge today, first challenge, you've got a few challenges today, you've got some homework, is to chat with each other inside these walls. Speak to someone new today. Welcome them. Even if they've been coming for the last 100 years, welcome them. Probably not, but some look as though they have. And then the second challenge is to take it outside. When we leave here today, let's go outside and let's welcome people. Let's make people know that they are precious, that they have worth. People around us have got so many problems, so many burdens, are being broken down. They need to know the love of Christ, don't they? And we can share that love of Christ. You know, doing a mission trip is life-changing, isn't it? We pray that we share the seeds of the gospel and that people's lives are changed, but actually it changes our own lives too, doesn't it? I really encourage everybody here to get involved in a mission trip. It doesn't have to be far away, does it? It can be here in RBC at the meeting place, serving. If you've got a week's holiday, why not volunteer and help out? Or what about helping out with the kids' club that's going on with Hannah this year? Or maybe joining Scripture Union camps that go on all around the country, or like Ola did, go abroad, go somewhere further away. It doesn't matter our age, it doesn't matter our capabilities, but actually serving God is so exciting, and it is life-changing, isn't it? I did a camp when I was, about 20, for a bunch of Hungarian orphans who came over to the UK for a trip. And it was heartbreaking meeting these children. And this one girl, Rosie, who I'm still in touch with today, was an orphan. And she shared with me how nobody before she met myself and my friends had ever loved her. Isn't that heartbreaking? And she was about 16 years old at the time. And that was how she felt. She felt like nobody had ever loved her before. And you know, we can make a difference to people's lives, can't we, as we share the love of Christ with people. Thank you. So, we've learnt about being in God's image, each and every person, and therefore we need to follow the example of Jesus, welcoming everybody. But secondly, the thing I want to think about is how God has created us, how he's made us, how he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, how every single person here is unique and special. We're all different, aren't we? I'm a person who is prone to doubt myself. You know, I doubt myself in my role as a minister here often. I doubt myself in my role as a mother to my daughter. I doubt, and this is a very real doubt, that I can make the house look presentable before the small group arrives on a Wednesday night. We're all different, aren't we? Some people are so confident. When you speak to them, they seem to be doing so well and flourishing so much that you wonder why on earth they're still living in Romford. And then there's other people who feel like they have nothing to offer. They've nothing to give, and they try to keep in the background. In the second passage that Pepe and Caleb read to us are those beautiful words that I'm sure most of us have read, reminding how totally and utterly, completely God knows us, how he knit us together in our mother's womb. I love that picture of being crafted, that picture of not just simply being formed together by the cells working biologically correctly in splitting and creating us, developing into the various parts of the bodies, even though there's nothing simple about that, is there? It's an incredible miracle. Yet there's something in this passage, isn't there? That sense of God carefully crafting each and every one of us together. God is in charge of our design. God is the one who sees us, who performs that miracle of life, that miracle of creation. And that does raise hard questions, doesn't it? We can't just float past that and not think about them, because it raises questions about disabilities, about long-term illnesses. And if God created us, then why do some people face such awful difficulties in life? As a parent of a disabled child, when I'm just alone with Jemima, I rarely see her disability. I just enjoy what she can do and enjoy who she is. She's an absolute delight. But when I'm faced with seeing her with her peers, like this week, I've got sports day coming up. I hate sports day at school, because then I suddenly see how challenging life is for her, how difficult it is compared to everybody else. And it can be heartbreaking being a parent of a child with additional needs. Why does God allow such things to happen? I don't know. That's the answer. But I do know this. I know that my daughter, just like everybody else, needs to be loved. She needs to be accepted. She needs to have her own sense of self-worth before God, knowing that God loves her as much as he loves anybody else. I know that God loves each and every single person sitting here, regardless of what we carry in our lives, as much as he loves the person sitting next to you. I wonder, as a church, can we be leaders of loving those who are different from us? Can we lead the way in being welcoming, in being loving, in being caring? Do we have the courage to share that love of Christ with the people that we meet? Someone who's different, perhaps the person who stands alone in the playground, maybe for a very good reason. Have we got the courage to walk over and start befriending them? Do we have the courage to sit next to that person on the train that actually unusually is a seat next to them because nobody wants to sit next to them? Are we willing to be different enough and courageous enough to go and talk to that person at work that everybody else ostracizes? It can be hard. But our challenge is to break the mold, isn't it? It's to be like Jesus, who reached out to the leper and to the widow and to the outcast. We need to pray for opportunities, and we need to have courage to take those opportunities. It's not always easy. And so we're all different. And in this second passage, we see how God formed us and how he created us, how he knows us completely, how he knows how we're made up physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially. He knows how things would turn out in your life. He knows the paths that we would choose, the good ones and the bad ones. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He understands us even better than we understand ourselves. And yet, he chooses to hem us in. He chooses to set his love over us. He chooses to delight in us. We weren't made by chance. Even if your parents didn't plan to have you, you weren't made by chance. God created you. He had a plan and a purpose for you. Those lovely words in Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, one of the things that Jemima keeps saying at the moment is good luck. Such a common phrase, isn't it? She said, well, good luck with that. You know, and it's like, no, Jemima, we don't believe in luck. We don't believe in having to touch wood. We don't believe in having to throw salt over our shoulder or not walking under a ladder, sensible, isn't it? But we don't need those things because we believe as Christians that God is in utter control of our lives and we can trust him. Yes, we make mistakes. Sometimes we don't take good paths, but we keep returning to God to help us, to direct us. God is in control. You're not unimportant. You're not a chance of evolution. You're not insignificant because you were created by God and he's placed his image in you. Therefore, you have priceless value. God cares about each individual. That's not to say that God's pleased regardless of how we live. Of course he isn't. That's why he's given us his word. God gives us his word to direct our paths so that we live for him in a way that's pleasing. And in the Sunday evening series we've been doing, Psalm 119, it's a long psalm. We've been looking at it for a long while, but I don't know about you, but for those of you who have listened to the sermons, I found them inspiring because every week it tells us again, go back to God's word, study God's word. This is your bread. This is the direction for your life. This will tell you how to live. So God doesn't delight in our mistakes, but he does delight in you. For we have been made by God's hands himself. We are God's image. God loves us. He welcomes us and we're precious to him. The homework, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. I really encourage you to take this home to read it. It talks about how every single one of us has a role to play. You might be sitting here today thinking you have absolutely nothing to offer this fellowship. So you come on a Sunday, you worship here, and then you disappear out of the doors and you go home. But you couldn't be more wrong. That is not what God's plan is for us. He has a plan and a purpose for everybody, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're intelligent or you're Essex blonde like me, whether you're able-bodied or you have additional needs, whether you're wealthy or poor, black or brown, however you would class yourself, these passages tell us that in God's eyes, we are equally important to him, and each of us have a role to play here. Each of us are needed. If you're a visitor at RBC this morning, then return to your own church and get involved. If you're a part of this body here, ask yourself, how is God wanting you to serve in this place? Because we need you. We need everybody who to play their part because you're unique. If we want to be a welcoming church, if we want to hit this aspiration on the head, then we all need to play our role. And we all need to be part of it. I wonder, is God's word speaking to you today? Do you need to remember as you look at other people that each person is made in God's image? And therefore, we've got to seek a way to come alongside them, even those difficult ones, even those difficult neighbours or those tricky in-laws, whoever it might be. We need to love them. We need to respect them. Let's seek to follow Jesus' example today by living by his word, throwing off all that entangles us. We're called to welcome everyone as God welcomes us. Is God's word speaking to you today? Do you need to reread those lovely verses in Psalm 139 to know that God created you, that he looks down upon you and he smiles, he delights in you, you're special? Don't think there's something wrong with you. Allow God's love and grace to smile upon you. God welcomes everybody into his body. Let's make sure we follow that example. Is God's word speaking to you today? Do you need to be reminded as you look around this fellowship that you have an important part to play as much as the person sitting next to you, as much as the deacon sitting over there or the minister up here? We're so quick to judge one another and think that other people haven't got the value needed to be able to serve, but every single person does. Every person has a gift and an ability that only you can offer to this fellowship. So we need to enable everybody to fulfill their role here. It's God's word speaking to you today. Do you know this loving God, this loving Father who reaches out and welcomes you into his family? If you haven't yet known that God, invite him into your life today. Don't leave here without praying. It's God's word speaking to us. I pray it is. We are made in God's image. He does know us completely. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Let us welcome each other today and celebrate the uniqueness that God has placed in this place. As a church, we are so blessed to be so incredibly diverse in all senses, from cultures to classes, abilities to disabilities, young and old, single and in families. We are diverse. But you're made, each of you, in the image of God, and God has a plan for us. We're special. So let's aspire today to be a church that welcomes. Let's aspire to be a church that seeks to enable every person who enters this building to participate fully in the life of this church as we worship him together and seek to live in obedience to his word. And let us aspire to welcome people with open hearts that they too might know the love of God for themselves. Amen. So homework, talk to someone else here today that you've not spoken to before. Speak to someone this week who needs to know the love of Christ in their lives. And go home and read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. What's God calling you to as you seek to serve him and live for him?